came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain, and the itsy bitsy spider went up the spout again.
A little girl smiles in the dark, face lit by candlelight. As she sings, her tiny fingers move with the words, casting shadows. She laughs and blows out the candle. There's a rumble of thunder that Dean swears he can feel through the road. It's like wind under the tires, and the wind is rising. Sam sits up, staring out the window. It starts to rain ash. The air is cool, but the road shimmers black and blinding, as if it's the hottest summer day. It's so hazy that the horizon is blurred, and like a burn mark on paper, the diner rises out of the smears. The sign used to be red, but under a thin layer of ash rain, it's turning gray. "Old Bones," it says in rounded and cracked letters, and Sam points, and Dean sighs. Gravel crunches as the Impala eases over. Dean blinks, and for a moment he thinks he's driving over teeth, loose and spraying out behind the car. There are cars in the parking lot, ash gathering along their lines and curves. The ash is eating at the paint, slow rot and rust, the bodies bleeding out under flakes and strips of color. A bell over the door tilts and rings with a muffled tongue, and Sam pinches the bridge of his nose, pain and headache and exhaustion, as Dean glances around. A faint smell of grease, something's burned, left only smoke behind, and that too is fading. A layer of decay, but not a stench, just everything uneasy and broken open. Man slumped over the counter, legs dangling from the stool, his fork rusting by his cheek. A couple fallen over in a booth. She's written something in blood or ketchup, her fingers caught in the sticky mess. Sam steps cautious toward the bathrooms, and Dean walks behind the counter. The waitress huddled, knees bent, her eyes empty and dead, staring up at the tickets hanging above her. She dotted her eyes with stars. A fold of apron and the cook is sprawled by the freezer, door wide, and the contents are melting all over his arms. Old man in tweed outside the men's room, curled on his side, as if the split tile looked comfortable enough to sleep on. His cane stretches out beside him, faithful and useless. His hat has rolled out of reach. The diner looks like a sandstorm crept in, wave after wave of dust, but it's ash from outside and inside. It looks like neglected ruins of life and ancient history. Someone else's history, not theirs. Using his sleeve, Dean rubs at a vague glass container. A large wedge of pie waits, fruit spilling out of the pastry in thick pieces. With that much ash in the air on every surface, coating cold skin, Sam and Dean see pairs of black eyes at the edges of their sight. Hair in his eyes, Sam writes his name, clearing ash from the countertop. It makes his fingers chalky, and when he rubs his fingertips together, there's a smell of sulfur, burning and burning and burning. The diner is haunted. They can feel the exhalations of the dead, the slow-growing fury. They leave behind smoke and flame, the diner splintering and throwing glass. Dean burns the cars, pyres on chassis, and Sam avoids his gaze, watching the sign, "Old Bones," sway in the breeze, dropping ash like snow. This is not the beginning, but it's not the end. Ash doesn't always fall from the sky. Sometimes it rains, and it's water, and Sam puts his hand out the window as they drive, letting the drops collect on his fingers, listening to the whisper on the road because it's better than the silence the ash brings. The demons don't wander the earth openly like people expected them to. They jack bodies and walk through the ash with umbrellas, clutching paper bags from delis as if they're human. But they don't travel alone, as if they're afraid, and Dean smirks, cocky. deciding that they think the hunters are on high alert. Then Sam calls Bobby and hears the rumor. There's something else out in the world, something that stalks through the ash like fog, something that's hungry. When Dean sees a flash of black in a pair of eyes, he doesn't hesitate, and he asks as he paces in front of the chair, boots soft on the age-rotten linoleum, and the demon stutters, biting its stolen tongue, both proud and fearful at the same time, pulling on the ropes at its wrists, ignoring the blood that drips to the floor. And outside, the ash drifts in flakes, dirty snow, never ever white. The wind changes direction, and it always smells like burning, but never the same. Wood, grass, cigarettes, candies, matches, plastic. Sam shudders as they stand outside their motel and recognize this one as flesh. They don't eat that night, instead drinking until the static on the television sorts itself out. "We have to do something," Dean says. "Got any ideas?" Sam asks. "Call Bobby again, doesn't he?" "He's been reading. Last time I called him, he said he hadn't slept in days." "And he hasn't heard anything?" "It's slow. It's like everyone's gone to ground." "Do you think we..." Sam's hair curves into his eyes, brown lines cutting the hazel, and he shifts to look at Dean. "Maybe. But let's see what we can do now. There has to be... no running. Let's fight this." One hand on his brother, the other hand on his car, and Dean nods, swallowing with a soft sound like a sigh. "Okay, Sammy. Where to?" They find a girl, her black leather pants gray with ash, her purple shirt with a stabbed heart design, vines of thorns twining around it. She's been tied to the ground, arms outstretched, ankles crossed, railroad spikes and rope. There's a mark on her forehead, and the tender skin of her wrists and the ashes mingling with the blood on her cheek, her lips. Dean calls Bobby about the symbol, describing it over the phone, and Bobby says, "Sounds like possession. An odd form of exorcism. Give me some time." Shot in the stomach. The ground underneath her is scorched dried mud, dirt and blood, in a complete circle. The girl is dead. The look on Sam's face makes Dean turn away, and he hears Sam behind him twisting and yanking the stakes out of the ground. The matches flare, and this time they actually know what's burning and what the wind is carrying away. As they walk to the car, it starts to rain. It's war, and the ash is slowly burying the battlefield. But it's a blind fight as they travel broken roads and talk to people who sound as if their voices have been carved out of them. They fight, guns flashing in the dim light of day, an out-of-focus photograph that starts to resemble less and less anything they remember of the world before. Things are coming out of the woodwork like cockroaches. Sam laughs with an edge of bitter exhaustion after drinking too much tequila. The bartender watches them with a flat gaze and doesn't charge them for the shots, only for the beers. Something snaps right about the time Dean cracks a pool cue over his knee and slams it into the wall, point first, like a knife. Sam's hands are large and warm with alcohol and sweat as he pushes Dean out to the car. "We're trying our best, Sammy, our best, but I don't know. I don't know. We try." "Dean, stop freaking out on me, man." "Ain't freaking out, bitch. I just..." "Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you know." Sam drives in the next morning. Dean's almost grateful for his hangover, because it feels like a normal, crappy day instead of what it is now. He wipes the ash off the car, talking to her. She'll never end up like those other cars. The old bones at old bones. He'll never have to burn her. There will be casualties, but not his baby. Weapons clash, but they can only hear it, a distant sound of storms rising and pounding hail, growing closer, never arriving. There's a battle, and they aren't there. They feel unpinned in their skin. Dean cleans the guns with a frown of agitated concentration, and Sam stares out the window as if he can actually see something. The motel clerk is surprised to see anyone, his face pale, chin shrunken as he stares at them, and Dean ignores it when their fingers brush. It happens a lot now in other towns. The clerk is trying to make sure they're real. Dean figures it out when an 8-year-old standing on a stool hands him a pen to sign the guest book and says, "Wow, you're solid. Not like those other people that are in the hallways." And there's nothing in her voice that sounds like terror, since her everyday life is now flickering full of all these people in the hallways. That was when they found the dead in their rooms, the ash creeping over the windows. 2 floors and even a maid had succumbed, kneeling next to the towel that was brown with dried blood, amongst the red fleck shards of what was left of the bathroom mirror. They haven't come across a town that is deserted down to its foundations. Drunk on Jack, they bet, in miles. When they reach the town that forces them to race out on squealing tires, blood in streams, too many demon eyes staring at the car that matches them in color and shine, Sam calls off the bet, but lets Dean get another bottle of Jack. There's a battle, and they aren't there. But they see the wounded and straggling dead everywhere. When the wind smells like smoke, the ground shakes under their feet, and Sam doesn't say anything, just helps Dean clean the weapons. It's a week before Bobby calls them back, a full 7 days of them almost running out of salt, gathering new rosaries since they keep leaving them in water, or the strings break around tight fingers, wiping down the car and guns and knives, discovering a grocery store doused in blood with no bodies, seeing a playground littered with dead birds, and the swings left knotted and twisted. Sam, drinking until he passes out and spills the bottle over Dean's thighs as he tries to prop Sam up and drive. A town where all the lights blink off, on, off, on, off, on, like a carnival gone haywire. Dean driving off the road when his insomnia lets him go and he almost blacks out. Bobby says, "You remember that demon?" And Dean almost says, "Which one out of Legion?" He almost says, "The demon that not long ago said to me, 'Go fuck yourself, and while you're at it, drain your brother of his demon blood, you self-righteous prick. This is all his fault.'" Instead, he says, "Yeah, the one with the markings, the rope, the railroad spikes." Sam's head moves against the window, nodding, his hair streaking like the rain. "Boys, that wasn't just a screwed-up exorcism. It was an execution." "Something killed it?" Sam asks, breathing on the glass, and Dean repeats the question into the phone. "Yeah, looks like..." "Any idea what?" "Hell, I just found the symbol, still looking for what made it." "All right, Bobby, thanks." When Dean hangs up, Sam's drawing runes in the fog his breath makes. Sam's theory is that the ash calls to people. It tells them things, like promises or wishes or encouragement. And that's why wives poison their husbands and babysitters drown the kids and people decide to go to sleep in the middle of the road. "Yeah, Dean. But that's... Hey, it's the end of the world. What more do you want?" Sam's smile is watery, fake. "I want to know what the hell is going on." "Hell is going on, Dean. Hell on earth." "Don't be so dramatic." Bobby read Revelation. "I don't think this is mentioned," Dean says, as ash blows across the road, and for a moment they can pretend it's snow. After all, they are in Montana. "Devour or be devoured. What do you think that thing is out there?" Ellen heard the same rumor. "No one's seen it?" "No, it's killing demons, though, Dean." "Come on, Sam. Something killing the demons? It's on our side." "It leaves some alive." Dean's quiet, and Sam realizes that Dean hasn't listened to music since all this started and the sun disappeared. He's not sure he can stand the silence now that his ears ache with it. "So, it's like a loyalty thing, maybe. A test. Building an army of followers." "Does it matter?" Sam asks, and he sounds like he did when he was 18 and saying, "I'm leaving. You can't stop me, Dean." It used to be that it was Sam who would wake up in a sweat with the sheets stuck to him, a trip hammer headache, and no recollection that he was shouting. Then it was Dean's turn, as if sleeplessness had to be shared between the brothers, and the thing he hated most was the screaming he would hear as he fell out of sleep. Now it's Dean's turn again, because the dreams start not long after they find another set of spikes hammered into the dust. The demon is dead, marks on the forehead, wrists, the grass smoldering. But the body is still alive, a boy no more than 17, and it's something else to add to their list of possible, impossible things. He babbles as they work to free him, Sam pressing a hand to the wound on his stomach, and the blood is slow but still warm. The boy talks in complete sentences about the humid days of summer, and kissing Sarah under the apple trees, and stealing cans of beer from his older brother as they fish. He dies before they finish untying the ropes, red on the fibers where Sam's trailed the kid's blood. The dream is always the same, with a few different shifting details. The boy, bound to the earth, and he's bleeding more blood than a person can hold, blood from his eyes and mouth and where the ropes hold him. He stares up at Dean, lips moving as he strains to pull himself free. You started it. You started all this, all of it. One tiny break in you, that's what did it. One tiny break, and then you shattered like an egg. He takes a breath, and it's wet with fluid, and he spits, dotting Dean. Everything tightens, and he pulls on the spikes until his back arches, and he's bent up off the ground, the hole in his belly spurting blood. You opened it, but he contained it. He took and took and took, and it spread through his veins, and then it spread to us and gave us power. He's ours, not yours. Not yours, not since that night when he was innocent. Not since that night when he was dead and you were alone. It began with you, but it won't end with you because you're too fucking scared. You know how it works, but you were too broken. Too many pieces, and you don't fit together anymore. With a scream, the boy bursts into flame, his limbs snapping. You know, and you won't, you can't. All Dean hears when his eyes open is laughter. Dean gives up on sleep, and then Sam hears the whispers in the ash, but only after he gives up pleading with Dean to stop and sleep. In Kansas, they find an abandoned house so that Sam can sleep and Dean can stare out at the night. The smallest bedroom faces south. That's where they almost trip over the little girl. Reaching out, Sam touches her shoulder, white and blue dress with lace and ribbons, and her hair covers her face. Gently, his fingers careful since they're covered in the black of burnt matches, he pushes the straight brown-gold strands from her cheeks, her eyes. No heartbeat, curled in front of a bank of candles, the wax melted in pools and puddles. No heartbeat, and Dean carries her away from Sam, out of the house, cradling her much like he used to carry Sammy when he was little. Bobby calls, and Sam ends his hour count with 53, pencil marks on the wallpaper, rings of roses that they both try to avoid thinking. Ashes, ashes, we all... The conversation is short, and Dean ends up sitting on the end of his bed, head in his hands, while Sam breaks something that sounds like metal and glass. He stalks and devours, and his army will cover the face of the earth. Sam either leads or dies. And they say no. They head to Bobby's. The tires throw ash, and only then does Dean catch the noises that come from the steady falling flakes. Sam hears it in silence, and Dean hears it in motion. Bobby's house is deserted except for two demons lounging on the floor under a devil's trap. Boys, you're looking run down lately, the girl says, licking her lips. They've been partying too hard, the boy says, his fingers sliding into the back pocket of her jeans. She snuggles against his hand, saying, without us, apparently, I'm disappointed. I've always heard you two were a hell of a good time. Dean's smirk is cold, and Sam begins the exorcism with ease, and his tone doesn't falter. What are you doing here? Where's Bobby? What's killing your friends? Dean asks over the curving Latin syllables and the snarls from the floor. He asks to hear something new. Maybe Bobby was wrong. Maybe they can... But the demons just shriek and spit curses, and Dean's getting bored until the girl says, You're having the dreams, aren't you? Sam glances at Dean, but doesn't stop, and Dean stares her down. You are. You're having the dreams, and you know. You know how it works. The mighty Dean Winchester, too fucking scared to end the fucking apocalypse. Your brother knows, too, but he's feeling too guilty, boo-hoo, to admit that he fucked up. He won't offer himself, and you won't do what needs to be done. Quite the pair. No wonder you're losing. She smiles, baring her teeth, sharp and white, before her eyes roll back and her neck snaps. The room goes dark, cloth over a birdcage, and then the only light is coming from the marks glowing on wrists and foreheads. The demons' mouths open in screams, but there's only silence, and Dean can barely see a figure, a man in a long black coat who doesn't need to aim, just shoots the bodies that used to be people. Then he's hitting a wall, hitting bookshelves, and he hears Sam crunch down next to him in a heap of limbs and bones that sound like splintering. It feels like something is stabbing him, fire lancing through him, and Sam's breathing in his ear, and it's a wheeze each time, a sound like tearing, and Dean can't listen to it anymore. Dean, come on, man. I can't move. I can't move you. Gotta... Sam's face close to his, and there's blood on his lips, and when Sam coughs, he turns his head and spits red. Sammy, no. What's... My side. It's my side. I think it might be... Dean finally gets to his feet, and he takes a step. Something in his ankle doesn't fit right, and his arm... No, his shoulder's dislocated. He tips his head forward, and then his eyes sting as blood trickles down. Green and purple across Sam's face, and he's trying to push Dean out the door. But he hitches on one side, hands splayed as if replacing his ribs with his fingers. Outdoors, and it's harder to breathe, like the atmosphere is gone, and Sam crumples against the door of the car until Dean can lever him off it and into the back seat. Then Dean drives, not looking back, dialing Bobby as they leave the house behind. No Bobby, no Ellen or Joe, no one calls. Sam falls asleep and Dean wakes him, so he doesn't choke on his blood, coughing and coughing and coughing. No other cars. There's a family in the ditch. There's luggage split open and spilling. A toy, and then a few feet away, as the car flies by, a baby bottle. Off to the right, there should be a town, but nothing, just blank and gray as it rains and the ash never melts. A tilted church, the walls leaning on the foundation, stone and wood, and Sam wonders out loud how long it's been there. Holy ground. Guess we lucked out. And they sit for a while, listening as the ash whispers, and there's a battle, but they aren't there. Three ribs, one possibly in Sam's lung. The bruises under his eyes are from lack of sleep and a broken nose. The bruises on his arms are from hunting. The bruises on his legs are from running. I should have protected you better, Sammy. Don't start that shit. I mean it. And I mean it, too. Don't start up with that shit, Dean. I'm just saying. Look, I know. This isn't your fault. Can't you listen? I'm having the dreams, Sam, just like she said. And now nothing. I know what you're dreaming. I have them, too. But you don't... You haven't said... Sam shrugs, wincing. Dean curses at the rock in his hands and throws it, breaking a window. Not happening, Sammy. If we can fix this, if we have the chance to, then we have to. What? We don't have to do anything. We've gone through this so many times. Not anymore. Not again. Fuck. Dean, did you see the roads? Don't you hear the... Yes, Sam, I do. I know. In the candlelight, Sam looks 16, his hair curling, his limbs drawn up like he's had a fight with their father, ready to leave again. The ash falls. It's starting to collect on the car, and Dean grits his teeth. Sam coughs and disturbs the dust on the pews with his fingers, writing his name, Dean's name, Latin phrases. It's all so still, except for when the church creaks as the ground rolls underneath them. They try to breathe. Sam hears a lullaby in what might be his mother's voice, a song to sleep by. Dean hears his father, teaching him how to take apart a gun and load it and pull the trigger. They both talk to drown everything else out. Dean. Yes, Sam. We have to. In response, a distant sound of storms rising and pounding hail, growing closer, never arriving. The corners of the church are filling with ash. Dean's covered in dried spots of Sam's blood, and Sam's still wearing his torn shirt like he's wearing his ragged ribs. But the guns are clean. He thinks about all the ammo over the years, all the bullets they've bought, made, loaded, fired, raining chunks of metal, countless numbers of bullets, when all they ever really needed was... Sammy? Yeah, Dean. Sam nods and Dean leans forward and they touch foreheads briefly, eyes wide. 2. The end.